fathers, I was thinking of our little Bible study group here this morning at home. I see a bunch of little birds in a nest with their mouths wide open. And you said, I need for you to take a little deeper look than that. And I looked again and I saw these baby eagles with feathers coming out all over the wings. And they looked like they were just about getting ready to, a little while they were getting ready to just spread their wings and go. And the Lord said, yeah, I give you those wings for a couple reasons. One, so you could soar higher up in the heights. But I wish you'd also use those wings to spread them over my chicks. Remember that scripture where he said, how I wanted to take you under my wings and caress you. And he said, that's what I'm raising you guys up for. Those wings aren't just to soar up into the heavenlies and gain more knowledge and revelation, but they're to go out and be a shadow over my little ones and to feed them, to bring them up and to care for them, so on and so forth. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that that's what you're grooming us for. And of course, I realize that such as we have, we're going to give out. But I feel that there's a greater measure, a much greater measure that's coming to this group, Father, that you're going to use in the very, very near short days ahead, Father, for your glory. So, Father, go ahead and feed each individual here, because each of us have individual needs that only you know, Lord. And Holy Spirit said that he would lead us and guide us into the truth that we need for this hour. So, Father, we open our hearts like the little birds open their mouths, Lord, and we'll let you come and just feed us, Father, whatever it is that you know is required in this hour for us. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. We're in Revelation 2:26. We should finish Revelation 2 this session, and if we have time, we'll go into 3. So, I'm going to read this in the, what is it, the one I've been reading, the expanded. It says, I will give power, authority over the nations to everyone who wins the victory, who overcomes and conquers, and continues to be obedient to me, or keeps working for me, keeps obeying me until the end. You, the one who overcomes, will rule over or shepherd them with an iron rod or scepter, as when pottery is broken into pieces, or will break them into pieces like pottery. So, you hear that and you go, whoa. I mean, you can see why Revelation has been misinterpreted so many times, because that's a rod of iron. Wow. That's seems like a serious way to rule people, you know. It's not a rod of something soft and nice and, you know.
Not like a staff of wood.
Yeah, even wood. I don't know how you got spanked as a kid, but I got the wood put to me. I survived, didn't I? Isn't it amazing how, I got spanked, you know? I got spanked, and guess what? It didn't hurt me. I think I turned out halfway decent, you know. But now it's like, oh my gosh, if you would even think about, I didn't spank Tyler one time, you know? And it's like, I think I spanked my daughter once, and that was it, one time. Broke my heart, and I just never did it again. But with me, it was like, I think I needed it.
I know I did.
What do you clear your throat?
I just cleared my throat.
So anyway, it didn't hurt me. It made me respect authority. The thing my dad was, he was a very smart man. If he was angry at me, he would tell me to go into my room and shut the door, and he would calm down, but he would make me sit a lot more past the time of him calming down, because that was worse than the beating.
We had a thing called the lion chair. It was a car that had like a lion's face on the back and like paws for, and it was in the corner of a room, and yeah, you sat in there, and man, I did not like that chair whatsoever. When it finally broke, I was so happy to see it.
I'm sure you probably helped it along too.
Yeah, I'm sure I did. I was in it a lot.
About for chasing, is, doesn't see it. Painful at the time, but it brings forth fruit under righteousness.
Plus, he only loves those who
at that time, it brings forth some pain,
But you're going to be, you know, pleasantly not surprised, because you know how God is, but you're going to, it's a pleasant way that he does this. But go ahead, did you have anything else here?
Well, I mean, you know, I've shared this a lot of times. My mother never did usually correct us or spank us, and she spanked us pretty good. I mean, she'd whip you with a belt, I mean, you know. And but she didn't, never did that when she was angry. She would, if you did something, she might not get you that day. But if she came home singing or whistling or something the next day, and you was gonna get it. And I probably got more spankings than any of the rest of them, I don't know. Because I, you know, probably got more trouble than the rest of them when I was younger, but.
Didn't hurt, you know? I mean,
no,
it hurt
no,
for a moment.
No, and I know, you know, my mom wasn't a very big woman at home. Last time she gave me a whipping, if you want to call it that, with a belt or whatever, I was about, I think, 14 or 15. And I mean, I was big enough I could have knocked her through the wall, you know, I mean. But you know what? You respected that authority, and you knew that she loved you, and you knew that out of any time that she ever corrected me, the worst thing that I ever hated, and a few times, was if I made her cry. She would hardly ever cry. But if I made her cry, I would rather hit me over the head with a 2x4 than make her cry, you know, because you knew that you really hurt her. Really
she was punishing you for righteousness' sake.
And, you know. I mean, you know, she had to go to school for me for a few times and stuff, and you know, but you know, I thank God that even in those kind of situations, you learn through all that stuff, you know, and I knew that she never corrected us other than out of love, you know, and you know, Scripture says, "Spare the rod and spoil the child," you know, and it says, "Whom the Lord loves, he chastens and he scourges every son that he receives." It says, if you endure without chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons. And, you know, I corrected my kids, but you know what? I didn't have to correct them a lot of times because they knew I would. And sometimes a lot of parents today, they've got a lot of rebellious children that don't pay any attention to them and don't yield themselves to authority. And you know, if you've been corrected in life, then you know, you understand authority, and you know when to yield to it. That it's usually easier to yield than it is to resist it, you know. So you know, I believe that even ruling with a rod of iron here, but it's going to be motivated out of love, you know.
I think most of the parents today want teachers and police officers to do it.
Right.
I saw a bunch of home.
Sorry. I work with a guy for years, Andy Odell, and his one of his boys got in trouble, and he went to school. No, it was his brother's son. That's what it was. His brother's son got in trouble, and he went to school, and they you know, called him up to school, and he took the boy in the bathroom and spanked him. You know, well, then they called the police on him. I mean, you know, they called the police on him. Well, then he went into school, and the next time that boy got in trouble, he went up there and he told him, he said, "Look, I correct my son at home. This is your problem. You deal with it." And he said, "I turned and walked off." He said, "You're going to interfere when I try to straighten him up, and you deal with it."
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, there's too much. I don't believe that anybody should allow people to abuse kids. But I'm going to tell you what, a good spanking on a kid is not going to kill them. And if anything, if they learn that they get a spanking at home, they won't want one from out there in the world. People out there don't love them.
I never got spanked in school one day, and they were swatting people back in those days.
I can't say that.
I never one time got swatted at school, not once, not one time. I knew the pain my dad inflicted upon me. Yeah. I didn't want to go through that again, so. Yeah. At school, I towed the line, man. I did not mess around. I did get caught one time chewing gum in study hall. And that was a beatable offense. I mean, you went out in the lobby or in the hallway and you took some licks. But the guy that caught me loved basketball. I mean, he was a basketball fanatic. And he took me out in the hallway. He says, I give you a choice. Normally, I don't give a choice. You can either take two licks or write 300 times, I will not chew gum in study hall. I said, I got my pen ready. Let's start writing. Because this guy would light people up. I mean, he would definitely, it was pretty bad. Kids would come in crying and stuff.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, thank you very much. But anyway. But this rod of iron, let's see what the strong says. First of all, it's strength, power. But where you're going to see a transition from what it appears in the natural, you're going to start seeing a transition back to what Oscar was saying, that it's all done out of love. But anyway, it's a staff, okay? Back in those days, who typically carried a staff?
Shepherds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think a shepherd hated his sheep? Of course not. You know, the old story that they got so close to their sheep that they'd go to a watering hole and it was time to move on, and he'd call these sheep by name and they'd turn around, stop drinking, and follow the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, the shepherd and the sheep have that closeness.
They bonded, so
that rod of iron, think of it as, what do you say?
They knew their master's voice,
exactly. So, and it also could be a walking stick, okay? So then I was thinking, if it's a walking stick, then it, what does it do? It corrects your walk.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So a walking stick, you know, a rod with which one is beaten, of course, mm-hmm. Is that too? Sometimes a shepherd needed to correct the sheep with a little whack on the side there, and whatever in the backside. But a rod of iron in the Bible, or in that time, indicates the severest, most rigorous rule.
It's a rod of strength.
Exactly, authority, strength. Yeah. Right. So. So with that in mind, if you all have, anybody that has the mirror, he does a whole thing on the rod of iron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of that one verse real quick too. It says, iron sharpeneth.
Iron, yeah.
Well, also you got to remember, the 23rd Psalm, David said, thy rod and thy staff comfort me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the staff was the thing that had the crook on the end of it. That they would reach out and try to grab the sheep when they were in a precarious position. The rod was used to fend off the enemies and the wild beasts and things that would come against the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, there's a little balancing there. And it's rod and staff, they comfort you. They comfort you because they're really there to protect you. And really the correction of the Lord and correction of parents should be to protect their children.
Mm-hmm.
And it does protect them because they learn obedience and they learn discipline and things like that. You know,
as you're going to see in here, it's even to the point of nurturing, which is interesting. Brenda, you want to get Psalms 2, 9, and if you want to read a couple verses ahead or a couple verses below while I'm reading this, then you can read that. But it says, we'll go up to Revelation 2, 26. There's not a page number on here, so, but it says a rod of iron on the top of it, Kathy and
yeah.
Jim. You
can
read
that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
got okay. it.
All right, so Revelation 2:26 says, seeing my victory as your victory. You know, Peter also announces that we were born anew when Jesus was raised from the dead. So seeing my victory, Jesus speaking, as your victory makes you an overcomer. That's good news, folks. You want to jump up and shout, then now's a good time. Really, that is good news, isn't it? Is there any better news than that? Because look at all the things where it says, to him who overcomes. Well, if we've already overcome, because it says that my victory is your victory. My death is your death. My resurrection is your resurrection. It says, by embracing the completeness of my works as your treasure. That's huge. You realize my authority in you to possess the nations. Now think about this for a second. What does it say? In 27, it says, you will rule over, you'll shepherd them with a rod of iron. It doesn't say God's doing that, does it? No. It says you are. To him who overcomes will. Well, if his victory is our victory, and we've overcome, then guess what? That's us, all right? Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. I mean, that's us. That is just awesome. That got me excited. It says, when he preaches the resurrection of Jesus in Ephesians 2:5 and Colossians 3:1-3, he celebrates our co-begottenness. Doesn't it say that the only begotten was Jesus? Well, if we're co with him, that tells me we're, if you're a co-owner of a company, you both are equal owners, right?
In Christ.
In Christ. Yeah, this is good news, folks. Yeah. This is this. What sounds like, and some people would interpret as, you're going to do it my way. God's not saying that. He's going to say, you're going to love me so much, you're just going to instinctively do it my way. And you're not going to have to think about it. Again, it's accepting that new identity, that it's finished, and that you're resurrected with Christ in heavenly places. You are there already. And I, brother, I don't ever want to hear you say I'm a sinner anymore. Because you're not. You, the old mind thinks that you are, but you got to get that old mind out and put the mind of Christ in there, because the mind of Christ does not look at you as a sinner.
I don't sin anymore.
I know.
I walk the line.
I'm just saying it's that new identity that you embrace and say, you know, I'm a king and a priest in Christ Jesus. Okay, Revelation 2:27. You will shepherd the nations with a royal scepter and shatter their alienated mindsets like a potter's vessel of clay. Go ahead and read that in Psalms 2:9, and if you want to read above or below.
All right. Above says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession. Wow. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like potter's ware. Now therefore, O you kings, act wisely. Be instructed and warned, O you rulers of the earth. Can we go on?
Go one more.
Serve the Lord with reverent awe and worshipful fear. Rejoice and be in high spirits with trembling, lest you displease him.
Okay. So guess what? what do you think it means when you're going to break? That sounds pretty violent, that you're going to break, like it says here in Revelation, it said that as a, when pottery is broken into pieces, or and will break them into pieces like pottery. That's a violent act. What do you think that really means? I mean,
well, when they, when he says he is the potter and we're the clay, and then he is forming and making us, and there's times that, well, I know it has to go into the fire, you know, that, and I know that if it's not shaped just right or made, it's had to be made over again. I know he's got something to share.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, if you break pottery, what do you do? What happens when you break it? What is inside of it is exposed. And, you know, when you shared your testimony last week, you know, and you said, I don't want to stand up here and cry. Well, you were being broken. That's what made you cry. That's a good thing, because it exposed the inner you, you know, the vulnerability to the Lord. And any time that it talks about broken pottery, it's literally talking about exposing what's on the inside. You can't see what's on the inside as long as it's whole, unless you pour it out, you know. But when you pour it out, then you can see it. But if it's not poured out, then it must be broken. And, you know, the Lord breaks us. And that isn't the first time you'll cry, and it isn't the last time you'll cry. I'll tell you that. You're going to cry a lot of times. Because as God breaks you and He molds you and changes you, you're going to cry a lot of times. And, you know,
pretty sensitive, and I care a lot.
But it's not even about the sensitivity, because it bothers me to ever see someone who's a minister not cry once in a while. Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking, now, unless you're crying in secret, which, you know, because that brokenness, that has to come out.
Yeah.
That's just a way of you showing that you're vulnerable to the Lord. Yes. Doesn't make you any less of a man. Doesn't make it, you know, Jesus stood and wept over Jerusalem. Jesus was the most manly man that there ever was, but he was the God man, you know.
Yeah, I look at this as, you know, we need our outer shell broken.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, we try to put up as, you're taught as a little child, especially the boys.
Tough, yeah.
You know, be tough, you know. Big boys don't cry. You know, and you're taught all this stuff, and, you know, and if something happened, you know, like back to the idea of getting spanked in school. I mean, you don't cry, you know, you don't let them break you. Well, breaking is what we need. You know, if we're broken before the Lord, and it talks about that in scriptures, being broken before the Lord, you are allowing Him to put you back together. You know, just like the thief on the cross says, Jesus, remember me in paradise. He was saying, put me back together. Remember me. Put me back together again, the way I'm supposed to be.
Wow. Yeah, I love that.
You know, and not the way I was. You know, I want that new everything, new attitude, new thought process, new everything. Huh?
New identity.
Total new identity.
That's what I'm getting.
Huh?
I said that's what I'm getting.
You already got it. And that's the good news. When we already know that we got it, then we can start walking it out. And but that brokenness, even. You know, back to the spanking. It's part of the spanking is to break that strong will of a child.
Yes.
You know, and you know, you tell a great story of how Mark, you spanked him one time, and Mark jumped up in your lap and said, "I'm so sorry, Daddy." You know. Well, that shows brokenness, and that brokenness made him a better boy. That's going to be more obedient to his father. And it's not going to be out of fear. It's going to be out of this. You know, he doesn't want to disappoint him.
Right. It's out of love.
Huh?
Out of love.
Out of love. Total love.
You know, I'll tell you this real quick. When Mark was working at the shop, you know, with us, Wiley sometimes, when people would, somebody would do something, instead of getting that individual a lot of times and dealing with them, which I totally disagree with, he would get the whole group together and kind of chew everybody out. Mm-hmm. And Mark told me, he says, Dad, he says, and you know, this told me that part of what we did with him was right. He said, Dad, you know, he says, I resent when he does that. Mm-hmm. He says, because I do what I'm supposed to do. And he said, I don't think I should have to sit and listen to somebody rant and rave about what somebody did wrong when that person is sitting there, you know. And I basically, he said, I learned a long time ago, if I did what I was supposed to, I didn't have to get in trouble, you know. And isn't that what life is
all
about?
That's a weak leader right there. I'm sorry. Well, I had a guy that used to do that. And I mean, I walked away from a six-figure job because I was sick of listening to him rant and rave. And his he'd get this vein popping out in his neck. And I go, and he wasn't yelling at me because I told him, I said, you talk to me that way, I will walk out of your meeting and fly back to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know. Because you're not going to do it. But he would take the weak people and he would just let them have it with both barrels. And it was like, I felt so sorry for these people because they were being so humiliated and embarrassed in front of the group that I couldn't
see,
take
he
it.
He didn't
anymore.
Talk to that person. He would talk.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Put it out there like it was everybody.
And that's what I would tell him. If you have a problem with me, bring me in your office and let's talk. Don't sit there and do this in front of anybody else. And I said, if you do that, we'll be fine. But we weren't fine because I got so sick of the of the embarrassment he caused people.
Well, we had a nephew that always kind of went against the flow a little bit. We had a couple of them that worked in there. And one time he told him that he had to work Saturday. And he said, I have to have you in here on this Saturday. Well, he says, he was wanting to go to some wedding of somebody he knew or something. And he told me, he said, I have to have you in here. Well, he didn't come in. Well, he came to me and he says, well, you know, he didn't come in. He says, what would you do? And I told him different times. I said, I'll be the personnel director if you'll let me be the personnel director. And this stuff will stop. And I told him, I said, this is exactly what I would do. I said, I would call him in, set him down, and say, I told you I had to have you in here. And I'd say, now, I'm sending you home 3 days without pay. You have to come back after that 3 days, and you got to tell me I really want to work here. And if you need me to work, I'll be here and work. You know, and I said, and if he couldn't come back and tell me that, I'd fire him. And he says, well, you know.
We can't fire him.
I don't know. He says, he's kind of in a key position. I said, well, that doesn't make any difference. See, he created an atmosphere of problems all the time, you know. And I had another nephew that worked there one time, and Wiley told him he didn't want any of them in the office in the morning because they had a tendency, they were telling what people were making, how much money they were making. And he figured that they were going in there before he got there and rummaging around finding out what other guys were making. Well, he said he told him he didn't want them in the office anymore. I came in one morning and Stephen was in the office. And I went in there and I was talking to his sister, which was in there, and I gave him a few minutes to get out of there, you know, and he just kept hanging and hanging. And finally I told him, I said, Stephen, you're not supposed to be in here. You need to get out of the office. While he said in his meeting the other day, he didn't want nobody in here in the morning. Well, then he came over to me later on and he says, Uncle Junior, you know, he says, I want to know why you were singling me out. And I told him, well, I was singling you out because you was the single person that was out in that front office that wasn't supposed to be out there. And I told him, I said, now, I said, stay out of the front office. you know. And I said, you know, I had told Wiley about him being out there, you know. But I ended up firing the one nephew eventually, me and Mark. Mark was a supervisor too, me and Mark and the other supervisor. We brought him in because he was messing up a lot. And they asked me, you know, Wiley said, well, what would you guys think we should do? And they went around and said what they thought. And I said, well, as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't work here anymore. And I fired him. And you know what? Every time I would see him, he was so loving and kind and nice to me because he'd never had correction at home like he should have had. Mm-hmm. You know, and he knew what he was doing was wrong, but he also knew that he could get away with it, you know. And the thing about it is that, you know, if you don't learn about discipline, you know, in the natural, and a lot of times the things of the natural declare the things of spirit. If you don't learn about discipline in the natural, you're going to have one heck of a time when you get in the Lord, because he is going to correct you and he is going to deal with you sometimes to the point where you're not going to like it, and he'll allow correction to come your way through other people. But, you know, so many times people don't, they don't realize that wishy-washy back and forth stuff. What that does is all that screaming and hollering, that don't do a thing, right. You know. That's like people will jump on their kids and fuss at them, but yet they won't take their devices away from them, or they won't do something, take something away.
Accountability. Really.
No accountability. And if you don't do that, then you're screaming and hollering, don't do nothing. They just turn you totally off, you know.
It's funny how you said about the Lord will correct you.
Yeah.
When I had an incident, I was quite an angry person, like I talked about in my testimony. And I pulled this kid out of the car. Well, first, before I pulled him out, I hit him about 3 times in the face and pulled him out of his car. Mm-hmm. And I was going to stop him. And I didn't think about my family or anything. I just thought about hurting this young man. By the grace of God, a friend of mine who's a police officer got the call, and he had helped me in the Justice Center before. And he got it all squashed, like no paperwork, no nothing. Well, the kid had lied to him anyway. So then when I was arrested for holding my wife up against the wall and licking her face, the Lord talked to me, and he told me, he said, didn't you get a clue the first time when I wiped everything the slate clean? Mm-hmm. And he told me I was going to be punished for what I did. Mm-hmm. And I knew I was going to get disciplined. Mm-hmm. And I did. I'm still paying for it now. You know, I'm on probation. But he let me know. I knew it wasn't going to go away, because God told me that it wasn't going away, because he gave me a break. Mm-hmm. And he let me off when I should have been arrested, you know. And that's when I realized that I had a problem. And I sought help as soon as I got out of jail, you know, because I let anger and hate rule my life.
That's all up here. Mm-hmm. And that's what it says here. It says that the scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab.
I love that. Forehead.
Forehead. Where's the forehead? Right here. Where your mind is, your mindsets. God just basically went in there and crushed your forehead. And he did it out of love. Look at you now. If he hadn't have crushed your forehead, where would you be today?
I'd be in prison.
You wouldn't be here.
No, I'd be in
prison.
That's
for sure.
For a fact.
So thank God for crushing your forehead with that rod of iron. And it says the shepherd's staff was never intended to beat up the sheep, but to protect and free them from any possible threat. It says, I was appointed under him as king on Zion, my holy hill, announcing the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall shepherd them with a rod of iron and dash them, their distorted mindsets, in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Said verse 227 in the mirror says, you will shepherd the nations with the royal scepter and shatter their alienated mindsets.
Yes.
Like a potter's vessel of clay.
Yes.
Their alienated mindsets.
Yeah.
Not
that's
them.
That's what gets shattered.
Yes. Don't you think that every human being who's ever been born and whoever will be born, it's the one thing that we all share in common.
Yeah.
Is we need our mindset shattered and renewed, remembered.
I can't tell you how, since I turned my life over to God and quit doing drugs again, my days have been absolutely wonderful. My friendships have improved. It's just awesome. I can't even explain it. It's better than any drug I've ever done in my entire life.
That's exactly what you said. When that pottery gets broken, and that then you see what's inside, what's happened to you.
Julie always says, you always say to Tyler, "Birds of a feather flock together." So now you're birds of a feather with us.
Right. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean,
there's those feathers.
Yeah, they're
here. Yes.
I keep running into people that are of God and willing to help me with what I'm trying to accomplish, and it's just amazing. Here lately, especially this past week, like, for lack of a better word, the Spirit or God really been talking to my heart, and it's just indescribable. I can't put it in words. I mean, the things I've been reading, the things I've been learning, people have been coming to me. There's a gentleman at work that told me that I just radiate such positivity and love that it's hard not to give it back, and it's hard not to give it to other people, you know, because I'm a firm believer that you lead by example. I'm trying to set an example of peace and love and decency and, just respect.
And
he's doing it every day.
I
can't even describe it. It's just amazing. I thank him every day, all day long. I thank him. I don't pray anymore to be taken out of this world. You know, I pray to help it. And
praise God.
This morning in my meditation, I read some things, and I tried to get here early, but I'm pokey, as my wife says, but there was something, that I'd like to read maybe at the end of this group, if it's okay with you, Rich.
Yeah. Let's finish, if we can, chapter 2, we'll start chapter 3 fresh next week. In Revelation, it also says the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our master and of his anointed. That's what you're saying. You're showing that love and that peace and that joy. And so the kingdom of the world is being transformed by you doing that. You know, they see that and they go, how can I not be like that? Well, that's what it's saying here. And he shall reign forever and ever. In Revelation 19:15 it says, and from his mouth proceeds a sharp sword. We talked about that.
I just turned to that one.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I saw it in Psalms where it referred to it, and I was going to ask to read it, but then.
Well, go ahead, read it.
in the Amplified, and I saw that, and I said, boy, this is good. This is today, I'm going to share something, and the things, there's a video that I want Curtis to bring up and show that has had a lot of impact, you know what I mean? And what I got a little bit to share is about our relationship with God and knowing His voice and hearing and His sheep. And I got that already written. I've written this down this week. And then here we're all talking about knowing His voice. Yeah. Just look at how everything goes, you know, together. One spirit.
But he confirms His word, doesn't he?
Yes, He does. And in 19:15, it says, from His mouth goes forth a sharp sword with which He can smite, afflict, strike the nations, and He will shepherd and control them with a staff, scepter, rod of iron, and He will tread the winepress of the fierceness of wrath and indignation of God. And the Almighty Ruler, the Almighty, the Omnipotent. And then it talks about his robe being white as snow. I was talking about that.
I mean, think about grapes. If you don't break the grape, you don't have wine or grape juice or grape jelly or anything that's grape. Mm-hmm. If you don't squeeze the olives, I mean, they say now olive oil is the best thing you can cook with because it's so good for you. So, but if that olive doesn't get crushed, you don't have any olive oil. You know, I mean, the corn needs to be tread out to have cornmeal to be able to make bread and whatever, you know. So I mean, it's just perspective. We got to have the up high perspective, godly perspective to see that God's not a child abuser. Everything He does is in love. Everything He does is to bring us up to where He is. Come up here, you know. Come up where I'm at.
Come on up here.
Yeah. You're up here with me, guess what? You know, we may not have to crush any more grapes or olives or whatever, you know. And I'm not saying that that'll never happen again in your life, but I think we get to a point where it's few and far between when that correction comes because we're up there with Him. We are Him, you know, and He is in us. And we are one. There's unity there. And so when there's unity, you're going to do exactly what He wants you to do, and you're going to say exactly what He wants you to say. And if you're there,
or at least it's your desire to.
Exactly. Yeah.
When Brenda was reading that, I was just thinking in awe how easy from the wrong mindset it would be to take that as a terrible, you know, oh, He's going to crush you, and He's going to do this, and He's going to, wow. And yet, sitting there, I was, oh, isn't that blessed? Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Isn't that, you know, we're going to have grapes. We're going to have, you know.
Yeah.
It's the way of life.
28, real quick. 28 says, this is the same power or authority I received from my Father. This is Jesus speaking. What's He going to do? He says, I will also give Him, who's Him?
Us.
The morning star. Now that word morning, I broke it down to before, and star is of the foundation of a building. Well, was Jesus the chief cornerstone of the temple of God? Was Jesus, was He the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world before the foundations of the world? Yes. So what's He going to give us? Himself.
Yes.
So that we can be one with Him, and because He's already wanting to be one with us. And as if we see Him as He is, and the only way we can see Him as He is to be one with Him.
And
then
we
be like Him, right?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
So... wow, so He's going to give us the morning star, so He's going to give us Himself so that we can rule and reign with Him, as Him.
He's our reward, we're His reward.
Yeah.
I love that scripture.
Everyone wins in that situation. Okay, It says usually the plan of Venus before the sunrise. Symbolically, as Christ returns, well, we know he's already returned. He may come again, which I believe he will. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. it's not important at this point. What's important is now, today. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, let tomorrow take care of tomorrow.
His appearing in us now.
In us now. Revealing Jesus Christ in us now. And then it says, everyone who has ears should listen to, hear, or obey what the Spirit says to the churches. So that's the end of chapter 2. Any comments? We have just a couple minutes. Then how long will it take you to read
it? It won't take very long. It's just from 2 Peter. It's verses 14 through 18.
Okay. Anybody, what chapter is it?
It's chapter 3.
Okay.
I read the whole thing, the whole 2 Peter this morning. I do my meditation, whatever you want to call it. I pray and I ask God just to give me strength, courage, knowledge. I pray for my friends and people of the earth. And then I read a psalm of the day. And I read out of Bill, as Bill sees it, because I'm an alcoholic and drug addict.
Go ahead and read it.
And this is what it says. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. It says, "And so, my friends, as you wait for that day, do your best to be pure and faultless in God's sight and to be at peace with him. Look on our Lord's patience as the opportunity is giving you to be saved, just as our dear friend Paul wrote to you, using the wisdom that God gave him." That is what he says in all his letters when he writes on the subject. Mm-hmm. There are some difficult things in his letters which ignorant and unstable people explain falsely, as they do with other passages of scriptures. So they bring on their own destruction. But you, my friends, already know this. Be on your guard then, so that you will not be led away by the errors of lawless people and fall from your safe position, but continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Good way to end.
Yeah.
Lord, we just pray that the service, that we go into the service ready to praise you and give you all glory in Jesus' name.
Jim, where's Mark?